The car maker Volkswagen admits it messed up. Its engineers designed software for VW diesel cars that allow the cars to trick emissions testing software and allow them to pass the test whether their normal emissions, when their normal emissions were actually higher. VW agreed to pay a pile of money to help improve air quality across the country. California will get about $381 million by last count. Oregon, being somewhat smaller, will get less, in the neighborhood of $70 million. And a process is moving forward to decide how to spend that money. Kevin Downing at the Department of Environmental Quality leads the planning effort. He is the Clean Diesel Program Coordinator for DEQ and our guest on The Exchange. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So obviously there is a program already in existence. What are some of the facets of the Clean Diesel Program?
So it's really been targeting on addressing the problem of legacy diesel engines. So these engines are so durable, powerful, and economic and reliable that they're used widely in all kinds of applications. In fact, diesel engines move 94% of the freight in this country. But that's great, but there's an issue with the stuff that comes out of the tailpipe, and it's actually consists of a toxic soup of primarily particulates that lead to a variety of health effects, from increased risk for lung cancer, increased risk for heart disease, as well as there's actually evidence now of some impacts on the nervous system as well. And so there's new technology now available to make diesel engines absolutely clean. They can be as low emitting as a natural gas-powered engine, and after treatments can be installed on the exhaust, like advanced catalytic converters, that make them virtually emission-free, but not quite, but pretty close. The challenge, though, is that these engines last a long time, and so the efforts that we've been making to date have been to alert people to these possibilities, encourage them to take those changes to move to a cleaner fleet, either clean diesel or propane, natural gas, or even electricity-powered vehicles. And to provide financial incentives. So we've been relying primarily on some Oregon tax credits that we had for a while. There was some Oregon funding for a while before the recession hit in 2009, but primarily relying on federal EPA grant funds. And the Volkswagen fund settlement provides yet another opportunity, as you say, for about $73 million available to actually also support and finance projects that would scrap older diesel engines and replace them with newer lower emission equipment, again, either propane, natural gas, electricity, or even new state-of-the-art clean diesel-powered equipment.
So the issue with diesels, then, is really sort of a blessing of durability that turns out to be a curse for emissions, because they last so long, nobody can really see a reason to replace them.
Yes, that's right. So one story I have is there was a tugboat in the Portland Harbor that was built in the 1980s originally, and when they went around to look for an engine to put into it, they found an engine from a World War II submarine that they put in that boat. And it was only in the last 5 or 6 years or so that they finally decided to take even that engine out and replace it with a state-of-the-art diesel engine. Now, that's a pretty extreme example, but there are many trucks out there operating from the 1970s vintage that are still actually providing serviceable returns to the owners to make their businesses work. And they're out there doing all the things that we want them to do, to move freight and move dirt and do all the other stuff that we want diesel engines to do for us. It's how to get at those engines and move them into newer equipment is the challenge.
Okay, so I can see how $73 million would really help this effort along. That you know, here's a chance to potentially give some grants out, do some fleet retirements, some swap outs, things like that.
That's right. It's really a boon for us. And it's actually, well, we think that we can do about 2,000 engines or so with this money. So that's there's still a lot more out there, but it will make a significant difference. And the other thing about this money is that it turns out to be a great investment as well. So for every dollar that we have spent on cleaning up diesel engines, there's basically a return, some on the order of $10 to $13 returned in terms of avoided health and environmental costs from people not first dying, but also for not avoiding hospitalization, avoiding medical care, lost work days, and so on. So it's actually a productive investment altogether to spend money on these kinds of projects.
Kevin Downing leads the Clean Diesel Program for Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, and he heads up the planning for the use of the money that the state of Oregon will get from the Volkswagen settlement over the emissions cheating software. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, the science mind is taking over here, but I want to ask a little more about the emissions, because when you describe particulates as being the major issue, it makes it sound like diesel engines are more closely akin to a wood stove than to a gasoline engine.
So there's, well, the way it's described, the exhaust from diesel engines is typically described as a complex mixture of gases and particles. And so there's everything from benzene and 1,3-butadiene and formaldehyde and acetaldehyde and so on the gaseous side. But in terms of the toxicity, it's actually the diesel particles that are of greatest concern. They are, like wood stove particles, very small, but actually tend to be even smaller. So the particles from wood stoves, I think, are about in the 2.5 micron range, but diesel particles are in the 0.1 micron range. And the reason why that makes a difference is that the smaller they are, the more effective they are at bypassing the body's defenses. So we have nose hairs and cilia in the lungs and trachea that capture and evacuate the particles that are otherwise in the air. But these particles move through past all that, and actually, interestingly enough, they're so small that when they get down to the alveoli, the part where the gas of the lungs, where the gas exchange occurs, they're able to actually transfer from the lungs into the bloodstream. And the other part that makes diesel, that contributes diesel's potency as a particle, is that they're, many respects, a carbon-based particle. And so carbon itself is a very attractive medium for other, for instance, gases to attach onto, adsorb onto, is the term that the chemists use. And so the particles can carry all this toxicity into the body as well. And that's what we think accounts for its heightened potency in terms of health effects.
Okay, so not just sticking around in the lungs, but actually getting into the bloodstream itself, which is a step beyond what happens with wood smoke. Wow. So, Kevin, give us a sense of how the money is distributed. Is it based on population or the number of diesel cars in a state?
Well, we have a plan right now that we're proposing. So we're very early in the stage. In terms of, there's a trustee that's been selected by the court to oversee the $2.9 billion fund that is that Volkswagen has committed money to, but they still have to go through a process to designate the beneficiaries. The potential opportunities for 50 states, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and recognized Indian tribes to share this money. And so we're still very early in that process. We're not at the point where we're required to submit a plan, but we're trying to get ahead of that by proposing our thoughts right now and getting people's comments and feedback on whether we're pointing in the right direction or not. So the elements of the plan that we're talking about is twofold. One is a targeted opportunity. Well, let me step back. So our plan right now, we've set three policy goals that we want to try to hit with this plan. One is to maximize benefits for vulnerable populations. And by that, we mean people that are currently disproportionately impacted by diesel exhaust, typically low-income and minority people, but also elderly and young who are at any stage of life are vulnerable to the impacts from diesel exhaust emissions. So that's one, is maximize benefits for vulnerable populations. We want to prioritize pollution reduction in areas of the state with the highest emissions of NOx, diesel NOx and diesel PM. And so that varies across the state.
NOx being nitrous oxide?
Nitrogen oxide. Nitrous oxide is a different chemical, but we're talking about nitrogen oxide.
Okay.
So we'll bore everybody with the chemistry of that.
And then
the other one is to basically maximize pollution reduction cost effectiveness, basically bang for the buck. And so what we're doing is to do that, we're proposing to spend money on school buses. That right now the school buses are the only fleet in the state with a legislative goal to replace all the older vehicles by a set date, in this case 2025. And in consulting with the Oregon Department of Education, we see that with natural turnover by school districts, there still would be about 450 school buses, older buses in the state by 2025. So what we're proposing is to spend a portion of the money from the VW settlement to facilitate, to buy down the cost of 450 school buses, to scrap these buses and replace them with new buses, either run, again, by electricity, natural gas, or propane, or clean diesel. And so we can do that for about $18 million, we think. And so that leaves us approximately with $50 million left. And so what we propose to do with the balance is to run a competitive selection program where we identify those projects that best hit the values that most likely coincide with the goals that I just outlined. So it's possible then for projects, we think, in various parts of the state. It won't necessarily be, you know, say a Portland area program, but there will be a variety of criteria that will be that we propose, and we're looking for feedback on from folks about whether that's really going to be get us the best projects that maximize emission reductions, that maximize the benefits for vulnerable populations, and are also the most cost effective.
Kevin Downing's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Clean Diesel Program Coordinator for Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality. We're talking about how the state is thinking about spending the $73 million it expects to get from the Volkswagen emissions cheating software settlement. Here's a call from Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I've heard that the cars introduced in 1980s, well, you got more miles per gallon than any cars was made since, except maybe the electric ones. And I just wondered if that's true or if you have any idea on that.
You're talking also, gas or diesel or all of the above, Bill?
All of the above, gas. Basically gas.
Okay, thanks for that, Bill. Kevin, is that a program or an area you're familiar with?
No, I'm not, so I really can't really speak to that. It's an interesting observation, of course, but I really don't have any knowledge about one way or the other about that.
As the federal government has brought in the new requirements, I guess the Tier 4 standards on large diesel engines, has that done anything to their efficiency? Are they still operating as efficiently and putting out less emission? Are clean diesels that much cleaner and efficient too?
Well, it's an interesting process. So for many years, the emission standards have gotten tighter on heavy-duty diesel engines generally, and the manufacturers have responded to that by imposing various controls actually within the engine itself, and now actually they've move to the point that they have to install catalytic. So think of it basically as like catalytic converters at the tailpipe, and so for the up until say 2009 model year truck, all of those changes and reductions in emissions have come to a certain extent at the cost of fuel consumption. So they've had they haven't been the most efficient engines out there compared to earlier models. And this is in the heavy duty side. Like your caller was talking about the light-duty gas cars, and I don't really know about that as much. But now with the particle filters and the NOx controls and the tailpipe, the engineers can now design the engines themselves to operate at higher efficiencies so that whatever pollution is produced is taken care of in the exhaust stream in the tailpipe with those catalytic-type converters. So actually what people have seen now is a recovery and an improvement in fuel economy standards in those heavy trucks. And now you'll notice, too, over the next few years, you'll see super trucks on the road taking advantage of aerodynamic improvements and things like that to actually move trucks now where they get 6 to 7 miles per gallon, maybe getting up to 10 to even 12 miles per gallon with the improvements in the engine and designs of the trucks. So we're going to be seeing trucks and diesel engines getting better and better over time, both on the emission side as well as on the fuel consumption side.
With the school buses, you said maybe $18 million gets spent on that. Will those generally go to rural areas, as California seems to be devoting its money to retiring older school buses?
So we think that what we're proposing, and this is a concept right now, is to we're proposing to start with the median model year of the Oregon diesel school bus fleet, which is about the 2003 model year. So basically, dialing up school districts, finding those districts that have the 2003 model year buses and offering cash money, more or less a down payment, will cover the down payment more or less and a bit more towards replacing, scrapping an old bus and for them to go out and buy a new bus. So that's the proposal, is to start with that. And the reason why is that we're trying to actually have a clearer design for what we want to do with the school buses as possible, so it can be put into statute, so that the department is not normally then be forced to go into a rulemaking process, put the details into that program. So we could start spending the money on the school bus side of this virtually immediately after we get approval by the trustee for our plan. And so that's the proposal right now. And it also then provides certainty to the districts so that they know, the school boards know, which of the buses that are going to be targeted for use with the VW money, because they still have buses in their fleet that they will need to look to replace using their own resources as well. And so rather than gaming the system and waiting until the last minute to decide whether or not they're going to get a Volkswagen dollar or not, everybody would know virtually from day one which buses are going to be on the list for replacement using VW dollars. So we think that's an effective way to go, but we're certainly open to other people's ideas about how to best make use of the money or, how to target where we spend those dollars.
Yeah, California has focused on the rural districts because it finds those are the ones that tend to have the older buses. I wonder if you found the same sort of thing in Oregon.
You know, I haven't done that particular analysis about where the oldest buses tend to be. But that would be an interesting factor to look at as well.
Okay. Now, as you talk about the remainder of that $73 million after the $18 million or so for the school buses, I mean, the priority is for dealing with vulnerable populations. So potentially, if you have an industrial neighborhood close to a residential neighborhood, perhaps of low-income people, that would be an excellent target, it sounds like, for places to get clean diesel engines.
It could be. It'll be a little complex. Because there are many, low-income and minority populations that are outside of, say, large metropolitan areas. So it's the matter of tying or looking to where those factors coincide at the highest potentiality. So whether that neighborhood also then represents a place where there's also exposure to diesel emissions, like near a roadway, for instance, or near a port or a rail yard or some other facility like that where diesel engines tend to aggregate in large numbers. So that's an analysis that we'll be doing, as we evaluate projects. So we won't be forcing people, the proposal wouldn't force people to do that analysis themselves. We'd have that done in advance. So we kind of know where are the geographic areas. And there's going to be a variable component to that so that there are possible projects that in, say, Jackson County, or Klamath County, for instance, may score high on those factors as compared to even some parts of the Portland metropolitan area. So we'll have to see how that pencils out over time, but that's what the concept is right now.
Okay, Kevin Downing is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Clean Diesel Program Coordinator for Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality and leading the effort to decide how to spend the Volkswagen settlement money over the cheater software that got Volkswagens to pass emission tests when they might not have otherwise. Here's a call from Byron in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. I'm appreciating much of what he's saying, especially that last part. That coincides with the thinking on if there's a gas tax or a cap-and-trade program, that they would shunt some of those monies into areas that are heavily impacted and poor. So I appreciate that. And much of what he's saying, I love the ideas about new engines and everything, but I have been following the upswing in electric vehicles, and now there are a lot of electric buses. Tesla just announced a new electric truck, a big hauler. And so I'm encouraging him to go in that direction when possible and where appropriate. And finally, I have a question. I'm proud of Oregon often and our political situation here, as opposed to the cynicism in the rest of the country. And I'm wondering, how is this handled in other states? Are they also shunting the money into rational and practical ethical ways, or are they just putting in their general fund and things like that? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Byron. Appreciate it. Kevin, your thoughts?
So let me address the first one. He raised the issue about electric vehicles, and certainly those are great technologies, and we're seeing interest now in manufacturers building electric school buses, electric transit buses, electric medium-duty trucks. They haven't really broken into at a production level for heavy-duty trucks, although you mentioned the Tesla, but I would, people could look at the Nikola trucks. So Nikola Tesla is actually another company. They're on the verge of developing a hydrogen fuel cell-powered electric truck that will be apparently very attractive for hauling freight over long distances. And so we're very excited about those possibilities as they come forward. But fundamentally, we're in a position where we're not choosing in advance what the winning technology is. So we're looking for the manufacturers of each one of those technologies, so propane, natural gas, or electricity, or frankly, even clean diesel. For those people that are marketing and selling those products and manufacturing those devices and machines and vehicles, to actually reach out to Oregon fleets and to make their case for why those Oregon fleets, how it fits their needs, And then actually when they bring those project concepts to us, we'll be evaluating them on the merits of the criteria that we've outlined. And we're actually going to be favoring projects that use low carbon fuels. We're going to give some preference points. We're proposing to give preference points for projects that use low carbon fuels. But ultimately then we're going to be identifying projects based on their overall merits and not necessarily on the technology that underwrites the powers the vehicle. And then the other, I didn't take notes. What was
general fund. You can't go into the general fund, can it?
No. Actually, the court was actually very clear about what they could spend, what the money could be spent on. And so there's only a very narrow list of what they describe as eligible mitigation actions. And it's primarily about scrapping older diesel engines in either trucks and buses and shuttle buses, locomotives, freight switchers, tugboats, ferries, airport ground support equipment, cargo handling equipment. There's a category for ocean-going shore power where you can plug in, basically provide a giant plug-in at the dock so the ocean-going vessels can shut down their engines and plug into the grid, which is a very efficient way to do the what they call, describe as the hotel cost of the vessel, all the lights and heat and whatever on board the vessel while it's at the dock. But and there's a possible set aside for light-duty vehicle, zero-emission vehicle charging infrastructure, either electric or hydrogen fuel cells. But it can't really be put into the general fund, cannot be used for other purposes. I know that people have expressed to us ideas that, well, we could plant some trees with this money, and that's a great idea, but no, we can't do that with this money.
No, it's very much earmarked.
Yeah, it can't be used for just only for primary diesel engine replacement projects.
All right, so public input, just a couple seconds left here, but public input sometime after July 1st, you think?
Well, actually, right now. So we have an opportunity right now. If you Google Oregon DEQ VW settlement, you'll come to our webpage where we've posted our plan there and an opportunity to send comments to us to orvwmp@deq.state.or.us.
Okay, Kevin Downing, thanks so much. Great to have you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.